sometime either in the day or two preceding Lag BaOmer, or during Lag BaOmer, I decided that one of the great unsung heroes of Jewish history must have been the Makoshesh Eitzim. I mean, very few biblical characters have as many people trying to emulate him. It's okay. The wood gatherer in the desert. He, as I said, he must have been a wonderful man. But you know, as all of Israel was in up in flames, burning away, it occurred to me that maybe we'll speak this week about Baal Tashchit, about wasting, just in case you get a little scared that maybe I'm going to go the way of environmentalists.
Which would
be terrible, right? I have a very healthy car, which is doesn't use as much gas as other cars. No, the environment is good. But I was sent an email a number of years ago by somebody who wrote a book about Judaism and vegetarianism, and I didn't want to say any names, but if his name is Schwartz, then that's his name. he's a professor, as far as I know, a professor of mathematics, yeah. But he's on a mission. I mean, I once wrote, we first connected, aside from the fact that his daughter was in high school with Naomi, but I once wrote something about eating meat, and I think I implied that it was good. B'chol ta'avat nafshecha, to your heart's desire, I think that was the name of the article. And he wrote back to me, being a vegetarian, and saying, well, you know, weren't Adam and Eve on the highest possible level, and they were vegetarians? And I wrote back, they were also running around naked. What's your point? This is true. I really did this. What exactly are you advocating? Excuse me? They also got into trouble. You know, a good steak could have satisfied them. They never would have eaten from that fruit. Okay, so my new commentary to Bereshit. Anyway, afterwards, he was kind enough to send me his book, and I skipped most of the things about vegetarian. And then I saw that he did have a chapter about Baal Tashchit, because one of his arguments is that in order to create the meat industry, there's an incredible amount of waste which is taking place, and the waste which is taking place, and he does all, again, it's very interesting. So I decided to look up the sources and to see exactly how this bears itself out in terms of what is Baal Tashchit. So let's take a look. First of all, it's interesting that everyone always calls it Baal Tashchit, and the reason for this is because the Gemara calls it Baal Tashchit already. You'll be over, you will break. Don't Baal Tashchit, not to do Tashchit. But the Torah doesn't say it. Let's look at the verse in the Torah. In the Varim Perakuf, Ki Tatsur El Ir Yamim Rabim Li Lachem Aleha. I'm sorry I didn't give you the translation. I will bring you a very authentic translation over here. When you lay siege to a city for many days to capture it by making war against it, lo tashchit, there's the words, lo tashchit et etza, you shall not destroy its trees. Lindoach alav garzen, wielding an axe against it, ki tochal, ki mimenu tochal, for from this tree you will eat. Vo'oto lo tichrot, and the tree you should not cut down, ki hadam etza sadeh, for man is a tree of the field. Lavo mipanecha bamatzur. Over here it translates, for the tree of the field is the existence of man. Hence it is also to go into the siege before you. Also let's note the next verse, rak etza sher teda ki lo etz ma'achal hu, oto tashchit. A tree which is not a fruit tree, that one you can be mashchit. What does lahashchit mean? Destroy. To destroy. And so here, just like the Torah says that you shouldn't be chopping down fruit trees, it does not tell you that you cannot chop down other trees. In fact, what does it say? Chop down other trees. Who was the guy who chopped down the trees? George Washington Cutcheon? No, no, I still, no, not him. Okay, anyway. Paul Bunyan. Well, that's what they do. They chop down trees. Right, and then it continues to talk about how you put a city to siege and how you treat the city. Let's first of all notice the context. The context over here are ethics of battle. How you go to war. Within the context of going to war, we're told there are certain things that you do and certain things you don't do. This is not the only ethical discussion which comes up in battle. There are many ethical discussions in terms of battle, but this one is, the fruit tree do not chop down. Other trees go ahead and chop down. And the simple explanation over here is that the reason you're chopping it down is because you need wood in order to as part of your siege. The Gemara comes and discusses this prohibition in a number of times. Now, what we're really going to try to see is what are the parameters of it, what is included, what isn't included. I mean, I don't know how many of your mothers said to you, you have to finish your food because people are starving in Africa, right? You have it, China, you would say. Should finish your spinach because people are starving in China. Europe. And I would say, why open the can in the first place of spinach? Why don't you just send it to them beforehand? Right? Right. Anyway, is not finishing the food on your plate, is that really Baal Tashchit, or is that not necessarily Baal Tashchit? But they all...
Don't get so much food on the plate.
There's another alternative, which is the most important thing for diets. Do you know what it is? Most important thing for diets. Buy smaller plates. Yes. You have smaller plates than when you fill them, there will be less on them. Okay? Excuse me? No, then you don't take more. So, what exactly is included, what isn't included? Because I could start out right now and make basic thesis based upon the Chumash. And what's that? That only within the context of war do we have this law, and it needs to be proven or shown some kind of evidence that this law should apply outside of war as well. That's the first thing that needs to be seen. Second thing that would need to be seen is to what extent this law would apply, if it does apply outside of war or even within war. Is this only something having to do with trees themselves, or does this have to do with other areas also? Okay? Third thing we'd have to see is if it does apply outside of war, are there ever any other circumstances that would override the Baal Tashchit? And that would basically be what we need to talk about, aside from superstition, which we'll have to throw into it as well. Okay. The Gemara in source number 2 is a Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara over here is discussing hitting someone, causing damage to someone. Which someone is it talking about? Yourself. Are you allowed to hit yourself? So the answer, by the way, is no. But within this discussion, hachovil ba'atzmo, if somebody does hit himself, afal pi she'enu rishai, even though he's not allowed to, patur. It's patur. By the way, if it were chayav and you would have to pay damages, who would you pay damages to? Okay? So it's very convenient that it is, in fact, patur in such a case. And I'm skipping a little bit. The Tanya, we learned, mikar'in al hamet. What does that mean? That you're allowed to tear kriya when somebody dies. Now, that's a very good question. There is a law that lo aleinu, if somebody passes away, there is a mitzvah to do kriya, to tear one's clothing. Why is that allowed? It's Baal Tashchit. By the way, for that matter, we can throw Baal Tashchit. We don't have to just start with Lag BaOmer. I mean, starting with Pesach, how much Baal Tashchit is involved in getting rid of chametz. There's an incredible amount of Baal Tashchit that takes place. Again, if all this really is Baal Tashchit, that we need to see. But over here, we see something. You're allowed to tear your clothing when someone passes away. Vilomi darchei Amori, and it needed to be stated that this is not considered to be a practice of the Amorim, because one is not allowed to do those practices. These are included in the foreign practices that the Torah prohibits. Amrebi Lezer Shamati Shamakare Alamedio Termidai Loke Mishum Baal Tashchit. Rebbe Lezer says that he heard, so here we have a rumor now, either a rumor or a tradition, that he has heard that if somebody tears too much, which means you're allowed to tear the clothing. You have to tear the clothing. How much do you tear? One would tear a fifth's worth, which is a tefach. That's the amount that would be torn. Drop more. But if somebody then starts ripping up all their clothing, and they say, "What are you doing? I'm doing kriya." You know, they're ripping all their clothing. They go into the closet and keep on ripping. "What are you doing? I'm doing kriya." So at which point did you just go a little bit too far? So he says, if you tear more clothing than necessary, you are guilty of baal tchashchit. So a couple of things we have to notice over here. What's the first thing? It could be natural fibers, but this was not chopping down a tree. So the first thing we have to notice is that we just now took a leap. That even though the Torah spoke about trees, over here we just now found a much broader definition. Not only does he say you can't do it, he used another phrase here which is very instructive. And what's that? Loke mishum baal tashchit. And there, you see the phrase baal tashchit. What does loke mean? He gets lashes. When do you get lashes? Well, in order to avoid confusion, there are two kinds of lashes. They work the same way, but one kind is when it breaks a Torah law. And that's what this sounds like over here. There's a second type of lashes if somebody didn't listen to the rabbis, and that's called makot mardut, somebody who rebelled against the rabbis. That's a different kind of lashes. Over here, when it says, "I heard that you get lashes for baal tashchit," what he is telling us is that the Torah spoke of a particular example, but it's really a much broader category, and it would include other types of destruction. So the same way that ripping up a fruit tree is considered to be destruction, therefore, Rabbi Lezer reports to us that if somebody tears their clothing, that's also considered to be destruction. However, there was a line before there that we need, or even the way that he said it, that we need to pay attention to. What did he say? Shemakre elameit yotermidai, somebody who tears too much. If it's breaking a Torah law, then why not just say, if you tear at all, then you just broke the Torah law. So what can you conclude from this? Was that too fast? If it were prohibited, then he should have said you can't tear at all. And the whole idea of doing kriya should be thrown away. The fact that he said that the problem is tearing too much, so what can we now understand from this? The tearing is allowed. Why is this allowed? Why is it? Because it's a little bit? Why is it allowed? No. If we're only about trees, then why would he say that you get lashes if you tear too much? So obviously he thinks it's not just trees. Right? So then what can we conclude from this? It's quantitative or qualitative? That's very hard to argue. I don't believe it's... I think it's the quality, not the quantity over here. It's not the question of how much. I know that he said too much, but don't get fooled that it's the too... Why is it a problem, yeah? But he still said lashes. So what?
Under certain circumstances, you can also cut down trees.
No.
In other words, under certain circumstances, you can rip, but not too much, so that you could also cut down trees.
That would be a very logical conclusion.
Here it's associated with the morning practice. Maybe in other situations, it doesn't apply.
Okay, good. So let me ask the question again. If he's telling me that tearing too much, you're guilty of destroying property, baal tashchit, so then why if you tore a little? So is anybody going to tell me that only if you rip out a big tree, that's a problem, but a little tree is not a problem? No one's going to say that. So why is ripping a little bit allowed? He told us why. Well, you know why it's allowed. Why is it allowed? Because he's a mourner. So if he's a mourner, why are you allowed to tear your clothing? Because that's what the halacha says, you should tear your clothing. So now why is it allowed then? It's baal tashchit. So apparently, the difference between tearing too much and tearing enough is what? Okay, good. So now it goes down to purpose. That's what I'm saying. It's qualitative and not quantitative. That if there is a purpose to it, so then it just now became allowed. If there's no purpose to it, then it's not allowed. So why are you allowed to tear a little bit? Because there's a purpose to it. What's the purpose to it? Someone's allowed to tear their clothing when somebody, God forbid, passes away. You're allowed to tear your clothing. Can you tear too much clothing? No. Why not? It's baal tashchit. But Marion was correct. Can we now take that principle and go back to our trees and say, now what does this tell me about the trees then? If there is a good reason to taking out the tree, can I now take out the tree? And if that's the case, what's the good reason? So again, once we see the stringency by the clothing, what's the matter? Okay, let's see if that's a good reason. Okay, so far so good. Yes, who did I lose already? It'll get worse. Yeah. It means too big a tear, even.
Really?
Yeah. Certainly too many articles of clothing. The Gemara then continues. V'kolshken gufo. So he says that if you do damage to your clothing where it's unnecessary, you're guilty of bal tashchit. Certainly if you do harm to your body. Why is he bringing the body in over here? Why is he bringing the body over here? Because that was the discussion. That was the starting point. The starting point over here was that we were discussing about hurting your body. So that's why he goes back to, because we're bringing Baal Tchashchit to talk, am I allowed to do damage to myself? So now he's going back and saying, certainly, if you hurt your body, then you would be guilty of something. What he's trying to establish is, are you allowed to afflict things upon yourself? And therefore, he got to Baal Tchashchit and now came back again to the body. If you're guilty of something, then there's a purpose. Then there's a purpose. No. Once the Chacham said that you're allowed to, that you are obligated to do it, now it became the fulfillment of a rabbinic law. And that's it. As far as damage, one second. As far as damaging your body, here the Torah says you have no right to damage your body. And that's part of the discussion there. Why you are or not allowed to damage the body. Let's leave that and go and see what the Gemara does next. It says Vidilma Begadim Shani. Maybe clothing is different. De Pseda de Lo Hadarhu. Because when you do damage to your clothing, it does not heal itself. Correct? Kiahud Rabbi Yochanan, and it's like what was known about Rabbi Yochanan, Kari Lamane, he called his clothing Michbuduta. He called it my honorable things. His clothing brought him honor, and he honored his clothing. Rav Chisda could have a misagi b'nei hizmei v'higa, and Rav Chisda, when he had to walk between thorns and thistles, midle lo luhumahane, he would lift up his clothing so that they wouldn't get caught in the thorns or the thistles, and therefore rip. Amar ze ma'ale arucha v'ze eino ma'ale arucha. He said, my feet that will get the thorns in them will heal themselves, but my clothing will not heal itself. So over here, we have something very... Again, it goes back to this point of damaging or not and the issue of Baal Tashchit. So, and again, how much to include the last part of the discussion within Baal Tashchit, I'm not sure. But over here, we have somebody who has an attitude of saying, my clothing, I'm going to value my clothing. I don't want my clothing to get ripped at all because it's not going to get healed afterwards. And it sounds that that's a continuation of the Baal Tashchit discussion. But let's keep in mind, we saw some interesting things here, including, or most importantly, the extension of Baal Tashchit going into other realms, notably tearing clothing as well. Okay. The Gemara continues on source number 3, and it continues now, it goes back to the discussion of Baal Tashchit. I just skipped a couple of lines, it's a separate source. Amar Rav, Dikla Dita'an Kaba, a palm tree that produces even one kav. Now, we don't know exactly what that is, but it's amount of fruit. Asur Limikatsitse, one is not allowed to cut it down. Now, let's appreciate the background of this. What are we not allowed to cut down? A fruit tree. What if you have a fruit tree that doesn't produce fruits? Or what if you have a fruit tree that produces inedible fruits? What if you have a fruit tree that it costs more money to water and more money to spray, and the care of the tree costs you far more than the tree produces? Which means, is this a question of economics or I mean, how exactly do I judge Baal Tashchit? Or do I say, no, Baal Tashchit itself is a prohibition. The prohibition is the act of ripping up a tree. You are not allowed to rip up trees because we love ecology, and therefore the ripping up of any tree is a violent act against Mother Nature, and any tree that you ripped up, you're guilty of the Torah law of Baal Tashchit. Or is Baal Tashchit a much, much broader law? And what it really is that one, it has to do with resources. And if it has to do with resources and the use of resources, then I say, hold it. If I'm spending more resources than the tree is producing, so maybe that's Baal Tashchit. What's the Baal Tashchit here? Is the Baal Tashchit the ripping up of the tree, or is the Baal Tashchit wasting the resources to keep the tree alive? Do you appreciate the question? Which way do you like better? Do you care? Is it a micro law? Is it a macro perspective? That's really the question over here. It's not a chok. It's not a chok. It gives a reason right there. I mean, you need the trees. I mean, it says it right there in the verse. But I'm saying, is it connected to the action? The action of ripping up the tree is the problem. And by the way, if that were the case, then broadening it becomes a little bit more difficult.
It's not about the purpose.
Yes, and we'll see about letting the tree die. Let's continue. So now we hear in the Gemara that Rav says that this is the amount the tree has to produce to be considered to be a worthwhile tree. Meitve, we learned in a Braita, it was asked from the Braita. Kama yehe bezait v'lo yikotzitzu. How much should an olive tree have to produce not to cut it down? So it says rova. So you don't have to know what a kav is, and you don't have to know what a rova is. Rova is a quarter of a kav. So we just now heard one opinion was that when it came to a palm tree, it was a whole kav, but when it came to an olive tree, it was a quarter of a kav. So now we realize there's a question. That's why he brought this bright. He says, what are you talking about? Who said it's a whole kav? We learned by the olive tree, it's only a quarter of a kav. Shani zeitim, the Gemara says, no, zeitim are different. Dechashive, because they're important. So therefore it's saying that the price of olives per kilo is more expensive than the price of dates per kilo, at least in that particular time and place. And therefore, when you're talking about waste or produce or how efficient this tree still is, even if it produces a quarter of a kav of olives, that's still a reason to keep the tree around. Amar of Chanina, and this is a line that we're going to have to keep in mind all the way through today. Amar of Chanina, Rav Chanina taught, Lo shechiv shivchat brei. He said, the only reason my son died. Now, I just have to give you a little bit of background to Rabbi Chanina. He was considered to be a very insightful person to the point of performance of miracles. There's another Gemara mentioned about him a couple of pages, even chapters earlier in Baba Kama, that said that there was this guy who was a very big tzaddik, and he used to do a lot of, he would dig wells that people should have what to drink when they were all regular, they would come up to Yerushalayim, and then his daughter ended up falling into a well. Okay, it's more or less like that, I'm not being precise, but, and Reb Chanina said, she's fine. And then said that another hour went by, and he says, no, I'm sure she's fine. And basically said that somebody who did all these things to help people, there's no way that God would punish him through the very thing that he used to help. And he had a great deal of confidence as to that she would be okay, and eventually she was okay. On the other hand, the Gemara then says, well, but Rechanina, his own son, ended up dying, and it tells us not why he died, but there's a little bit of context how he died. And over here, we come back, and Rechanina says, the only reason my son died, again, Lo shochiv shivchat brei, shivchat is his son, the only reason my son died, Elo dekatz teinata below zmana, he cut a fig tree, not in the proper time. Amar Ravina, Ravina adds, v'im hayim me'ula bedamim mutar. But if the tree itself was worth more dead than alive, then it would be allowed. Tani nami hachi, we have further support from this. Rak eitz asher teda ze'ilan ma'achal. Which kind of tree can't you do it? The tree which is a fruit tree. Ki lo kol eitz ma'achalhu. For not every tree is a fruit tree. That talks about other kinds of trees. Basically telling you that the conclusion over here is that there are trees you can cut down. Now, did I need to look in this to know that there are trees you can cut down?
No,
No. The Torah said there are trees you can cut down, and that becomes very clear. So along the way, what just now happened, one thing that happened is that we realize that Rabbi Chanina comes out and gives us the statement that his son died because he cut down a tree before its time. So how would you understand that without knowing anything else? What does that sound like? That he broke the law of Baal Tashchid. And what this is saying is that his son was a very big tzaddik, and that's what it says in the other Gemara, and here he had a minor offense, and God judges tzaddikim even upon minor offenses. The thing that he did wrong was he cut down a fruit tree before its time, as it said. This line ended up having a life unto itself and had all kinds of implications within the law, and we'll see that soon. Source number 4, the Gemara over here is talking about bloodletting. I don't know how your general health is, but most of you have probably not done any bloodletting recently. So the Gemara tells us that after you do bloodletting, I don't know how much blood they let.
What does that mean?
They thought
it was a healthy
thing. Right. Yeah, they didn't give you any new blood. They just took out your old blood. Right. So they took out they took blood out from you
because they thought it was a remedy for many illnesses.
Right. Certainly solve some things. Anyway, only problem is the side effects. When you lose a lot of blood, you may not feel all that well, and you can get very cold. And what the Gemara here is talking about, what if you get very cold? No. It could help blood pressure. Maybe you have high blood pressure. Maybe it helps. Okay. Anybody want to sign up? Okay. Well, no, it's not modern medicine. It's modern people using ancient medicine. There you go. Okay, so anyway.
And that's today.
So the Gemara over here tells us.
No, but she didn't get any other transfusions, right? That was what she had to do. Every so often, they go into the hospital and they took out whatever quantity it was.
Okay. The Gemara over here tells us, it's not talking about the blood, it's talking about the side effects. The side effects is that you may get very cold. So if you may get very cold, what do you need? You need a fire. So it says over here, Amar of Chir bar Avin, Amar Shmuel, Hikizdam v'nitztanein, if you did your bloodletting and now you caught a chill, you're very, very cold, what do you do? Osin lo midura. Ah, here we have our midura finally. You make for them a midura. You make for them a bonfire. Afilu b'tkufat tamuz, even when it's really, really hot, because this person has a chill, they're very cold, they need to warm up. Shmuel, and we'll read the English over here because the Aramaic will not help you at all. A teak chair was broken up for Shmuel. A table made of juniper wood, I don't even know what the English is, was broken up for Rav Yehuda. A footstool was broken up for Rava. Now we'll go back and we'll see the question of Abaye. V'amr le Abaye le Rava, second line from the bottom in the middle. V'haka avr mar mishum baal tashchid. If you're breaking these nice pieces of furniture in order to make your fire, isn't that Baal Tashchit? So if he only would have seen Lag BaOmer and what goes on in those fires, Omar Le, Baal Tashchit de Gufay Adifle, that I would rather not destroy my body, which means not destroying my body is more important to me. By the way, this is the exact opposite of what we saw in the last Gemara. Over here he's saying is my body is more important to me than my table. And therefore, I'm cold, and I want to warm up. So you're telling me it's Baal Tashchit on the table. I'm saying it's Baal Tashchit on my body, and therefore I'm allowed to burn it. Which is again a very interesting application of the concept of Baal Tashchit. Over here, on the one hand, we see the question: isn't it Baal Tashchit to waste something, to take a nice chair, to take a nice coffee table, and throw it into the fire? Shouldn't that be Baal Tashchit? And what do we end up learning? That it's a question of context and usage. And this person is cold, and his body needs to warm up. And what's the situation then? That he says, I am more concerned with my body right now than my possessions, so therefore it's not Baal Tashchit. It's not, which he's really telling is that contextual need takes away the prohibition of Baal Tashchit. That's really what we're saying over here. Yes?
Yeah. He was confident it wasn't a function of health. It wasn't like, oh, I will walk through this field and then I'll be permanently crippled. You
know? Right.
Whereas this is like a life or death health thing. So.
Yeah, but still has to do with case and orientation. In one case, you're right. In one case, the possessions are more important than the body. In the other case, the body is more important than the possessions. But it does. But what we just now saw became contextual. What else did we see here along the way? We saw something. We see something else here along the way. And what was that? Maybe we didn't pay attention to it. What was the other thing that we see? That we saw the ladder rip up a tree. Why do we...
It was already cut down.
No, because the furniture is
made out of... No. I went back two Gemaras ago. What do we see? That if your tree is not producing... If your
it's not a fruit-bearing tree.
No. That's what I'm saying. Let's go back one more Gemara. Go back one. What did we see? Remember the olives and the figs and all that? If it's not producing a certain amount, you can rip it up. Hold it. I thought I can't rip up a fruit tree. Mm-hmm. But I told I can rip up a fruit tree if it's not producing a certain amount. So what did we just now learn? We just now learned that the prohibition, according to what we've seen in these various Gemarot, on the one hand, is not only having to do with trees. It broadened it to other things. And what else did we see? We see that even the tree, if the tree's not producing enough, so that then you're allowed to take it down. So when I take these two sources and I put them together, what conclusion do I now have? That the prohibition of lo tashchit, right, not to destroy a tree, is not a micro prohibition regarding the physical destruction of a tree. Because if that were the case, then why should I care how much it's producing? I rather learn that I'm allowed to, even under certain circumstances, rip up a tree. Bless you. What else do I learn on the other hand? I learned that the prohibition applies to other things. Now, once I learned to other things, even to the case that we saw that you would get lashes. I heard that people would get lashes for ripping too much clothing. What else now can we conclude from that? That there are times that you're allowed to destroy things and times you're not allowed to destroy things. What was the general principle that we can now conclude from everything that we've seen? And this will make it very, very simple. What was the general principle? That when you have a need, you're allowed to destroy something. Let's even call it subjective right now. Rather than subjective, let's call it contextual. That in order to understand, am I destroying something, I need to look at human need. So this is very interesting, because it just now established for us that human need, that God created a world. Again, the environmentalists would say, God gave us a world and we have no right to, I don't know, you can finish the sentence. That's not what the sources are telling us over here. Rather, what are they saying? It's not a micro law regarding the trees and we must fight over every tree. Quite the opposite. You're allowed to destroy the tree if it is not producing enough. If it's not a worthwhile endeavor. What else do we see? And this is the question.
If it is greater than the tree, then you're allowed to.
Correct. And now we saw, once we say it is Baal Tashchit to destroy your furniture, but unless you need to keep warm. It is Baal Tashchit to destroy your clothing, unless there's a reason for it. So now, how much of a reason does it have to be for me to want to destroy my tree? That's what really becomes the question. The Rush spreads this out a little bit more, and we'll understand exactly why he did this, but it's important that he said it, because if he didn't say it, we may not have been able to say it. In source number 5, the Rush, he quotes the Gemara of Chista and so on, and then he writes at the end, which is underlined, V'chein ha-yetzarech l'mkomo nira demutter. What if I just need the place that the tree is growing? I want to build an extension in my backyard. I have a tree growing over there. Am I allowed to kill my fruit tree in order to build? The question came up very often in terms of sukkah. Lots of tshuvot about this. I'm allowed to destroy a tree because that's the place that I have to build a sukkah. So what would the Rush say? Yes. He would say yes. But it's Baal Tashchit. You're not allowed to rip up a tree. So what would he say? But I need the place. But he say, but hold it. How is that allowed if you're not allowed to rip up a tree? So what would he say? That Baal Tashchit is contextual. And what would be the prohibition? Let's go back. What's the prohibition? Exactly. The prohibition would be to destroy without any purpose. Destroy something without there being an upside to it. Destroying for the sake of destruction, that would be prohibited. And what have we now learned? That would be prohibited in all kinds of areas, not just in terms of trees. But once I, see, again, once I stretch the law to apply to other things, now I'm able to reverse and say that the same thing must be true of trees, that if I have a purpose for it, then I should be able to cut it down. The Rambam has a slight shift between his two formulations, one in his Sefer HaMitzvot and the other in his Mishnah Torah. In source number 6, the Rambam writes, V'mitzvah nidzayin, hi shehizharnu misheh shchit ha'ilanot kishenatzor al ha'ir. We are prohibited against destroying trees when we put a city to siege. Kidei lahatzer la'anasheh, and there, what's the purpose? He writes, to cause pain for the people, ulahachiv livavam, and to hurt them, hurt their spirit. And therefore the Torah told us not to do this. Any destruction fits under this prohibition. Somebody destroys clothing for no purpose. Or destroys a utensil. Gamken hine hu over mishum lo tashchit viloke. Anybody does all these things, it breaks the law of lo tashchit and will receive lashes for it. So over here, what did the Rambam write? He follows the opinion that Rabbi Lezer heard that you even get lashes for all the other things as well, and therefore the Torah just happened to be speaking about the example of putting a city to siege, but as far as the Rambam is concerned, the Torah law applies in all cases. Of the Rambam in the Laws of Avilut writes, "Malamdim et adam shelo yehi chavlan velo yafsid et akelim v'yashlichim lechavala." A person should be taught again. And this is in the context of Avilut, not to break things and destroy things. Mutav l'titem la'aniyim. If you don't want something, better than breaking it, which may be therapeutic, it's better off to give it to someone, to the poor. V'al yashlichim l'ramav v'tola. Don't just throw something away to be destroyed. V'kol hamarbe kelim al hamet over below tashchit. Whoever destroys too many things because of mourning, he says that is Baal Tashchit. But he says that's the lav. So that sounds somewhat consistent with what we saw before. In the Laws of Kings, why would the Romans discuss this in the Law of Kings? Because here's where he discusses war. And the prototypical example is in the context of war. So here the Rambam writes, Ein kotzitzin ilanei ma'achal, shechutz l'medina. You're not allowed to destroy fruit trees even outside of the country. Somebody who asked before, what about causing them to die? He says you're not even allowed to withhold water from them, kadesha yivshu, so that they'll dry up. And whoever destroys the tree will get lashes. Anybody destroys a tree, but what he used two important words there, derech hashchata, for the sake of destruction, that person will get lashes. You're allowed to destroy the tree if what? If it's bothering other trees. Or if it's bothering other fields. Or it's worth more money cut than it's worth growing. The only time the Torah prohibited this is if it's done for the sake of destruction. If you were to now ask the Rambam about the rush is extension, remember what the Rush said? The Rush said he could even destroy it for space. Would the Rambam agree? Most likely. Because what did he say? The prohibition is destroying for no reason. If you have a reason, that's not called destruction. So based on what we've seen so far, it would sound very much, who was bothered by the allergies? If you're bothered by the allergies of the trees, why should that be any different than your tree is bothering another tree? Your tree is bothering you. You're not destroying it because, you know, it's mindless destruction. You want to destroy it because it's bothering you. That would sound over here to fit within what the Rambam is saying. Just one second. Just in terms of the environment. Yeah, okay, go ahead. He was talking about the trees.
For sure.
I think so.
Water. What about not watering and letting it die because there's a water shortage?
So that may go into this broader issue. You're not trying to destroy the tree. That goes back to the water has become more valuable than the tree has.
They said we're not allowed to water, and now they said we're allowed to water.
Halacha tet. Kol ilan srak, mutar lekotzoto, vafilu einu tzarichlo. Any non-fruit-bearing tree you're allowed to cut down, even if you don't need it. So the Rambam just was very, very clear. How does he know this? The Torah said so. Okay, again, I don't have to prove this point. Good. A tree which has become old, and now produces very little, which is not worthwhile, the labor you're putting into it, you're allowed to cut it down. What does this remind you of? Which Gemara that we saw? Right, and also the fellow who we're told who died, because what did it say? That he cut it too soon. So right, he cut it early. So what? How would it sounds like that's
okay to cut it after a while.
Right. So the Rambam seems to be saying is that you cut it too early, so then you're guilty of Baal Tashchit. Halacha Yud, v'loa ilanot bilvad, not just trees, ala kol hamashbir kelim v'koreya begadim, if you break utensils, you tear clothing, v'horeis binyan, destroy buildings, v'sotem ma'ayan, or you stop a stream from flowing, u'mabed ma'achlot derech hashchata, and there's your food. What did he write? Ma'abed ma'achlot derech hashchata. You take food and you destroy food. Just like you destroy the tree, you destroy the food. Is he here talking about that you left food over on your plate? Or is he saying, well, you know what, I don't have a baseball, let's use a tomato? And that, by the way, even maybe somebody can claim there's a purpose involved. Is he saying, I take food and just throw food on the floor, I throw food away just for no reason whatsoever. What? Right, just destroy, again, he says, ma'abed ma'achalot derech hashchata. Taking food and destroying it, derech hashchata, is what's important, because he said the same thing about the tree. But if the tree there was a purpose, right, then over here, you don't feel well, you can't eat anymore, so you don't finish what's on your plate. That did not sound like the problem over here was one of Baal Tashchit. But then listen to the way he ends up. Over below Tashchit, and all these things, you're breaking the Torah law of Lo Tashchit, ve'enu loka elamakat mardat midivrehim. But you only receive lashes rabbinically. So it's a little strange that the Rambam, first of all, the Rambam changed his mind. The Rambam initially had told us in the other source, the source that he wrote around 40 years before he wrote this source, in his earlier, not exactly 40 years, no, this one he wrote, sorry, this one he wrote around 10 years before, he tells us that the prohibition and the lashes apply to all cases, and here he makes a distinction, and he claims that the prohibition applies in all cases, but the lashes are only on the Torah example. So therefore, it goes much closer to what Naomi said before in terms of the Av Malacha and the Toledah, that only for the Av Malacha, which the Torah said, then you would get the lashes for, but everything is prohibited from the Torah. But when it comes to the punishment would be different by the other types of Baal Tashchit. You would still get lashes, but the question is, are the lashes rabbinic or not? Because have you broken the words of the Torah or just the spirit of the Torah? And the spirit of the Torah is also not allowed, but the punishment only goes for the words of the Torah. And that would seem to be the Rambam's position that he ends up backing into. There's no difference. There's no difference. There's no difference. But he's saying, is it on a Torah law or on a rabbinic level? Right. Right. It's a technical, it's more of a technical point. In source number 9, Yerideya Kuf Tet Zion, the Shulchan Aruch itself was talking about certain things that were prohibited because of danger. The Taz, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, his name was Rav David Halevi. The Taz lists other things which weren't listed in the Shulchan Aruch, which are prohibited because of danger. He writes, Od achar matzinu sha'asru chazal b'bnei ha'sakana. We find something else which is prohibited because of danger. Shelo l'kotz ilan ha'oseh peirot. You're not allowed to cut a fruit-bearing tree. Now, if we stop right there, so I can say, the Torah, the rabbis prohibited that because of danger? No. The Torah prohibited that. Why? Because it says you're not allowed to destroy trees. So what? And then he goes and he says that ita beperikachov. Well, as we saw in the Gemara, Amar Rav Haidikla Dato and Kaba Asur the Mikitzeva Amar Rav Chanina Lo Shichav Shichvat Brei Ela Dekatana Belo Zimna. He's going back to Rav Chanina, who says my son died because he cut the tree too soon. So what does he now conclude? That cutting trees causes people to die. Now hold it a second. Is that what the Gemara said or not? Yeah, well, Rabbi Chanina did say that his son was sinless in other areas. The only thing that he did, and again, this is a guy who seems to have some kind of insight into how God runs the world and not your average person. And Rabbi Chanina said, my son didn't do anything. The only thing that he did bad. And the Gemara seems to be telling us, and therefore he was judged all the more severely because it's the only thing that he did. And somehow the Taz concluded from this that the problem with cutting trees is that it's sakana. Now, once sakana, danger, gets thrown into something, so now we're going to get into a lot of trouble because it's one thing dealing with halacha, but it's quite another dealing with things which cause danger to you. If we'll skip a little bit over here. Fourth line from the bottom, three words in. V'katav harash, sham v'chein im hayat sarach l'mkoma mutar. There are all kinds of reasons it's allowed, right? He talked about, right, all kinds of reasons. Tzarech l'mkoma mutar, you need the place. U'mizeh hitrati le'echad shehayi lo karka im ilanot, lekotzi ilanot. Afal pi sheyesh lam peirot kedei livnot beit dira aleh. V'tamheiti shebetur lo havi din zeh mishum makom min ktsitzat ha'ilan hanal rak b'smag. And he's a little surprised that this thing wasn't discussed that much more. So he brings down this thing about danger. He brings down the rush on the other hand. And the conclusion over here is somewhat inconclusive. Now, one of the sources that was quoted to me as in terms of the problem of Baal Tashchit applies to all things and so on and so forth, and that even fruit trees one should never cut down, is source number 10, which needs a word of introduction. Source number 10 and 11 come from almost the same source. And they look like they come from the same source. They came from the same pen, but they're two different sources. The same person wrote it, but he wrote two different things. The first is called Sefer Chasidim, but then it adds at the end, Tzava'at Rabbi Yehuda Chasid, which is the last will and testament of Yehuda Chasid, and the other one is Sefer Chasidim, the book of Rabbi Yehuda Chasid. He wrote two different books, which are published together in one. Rabbi Yehuda Chasid was what's called one of the Chasidei Ashkenaz, who lived a good couple hundred years before the Baal Shem Tov. These were people who were very pious, who have nothing to do with Chasidim around today, but many, many things that you would call superstition, that you can't marry somebody, a man can't marry somebody who has the same name of his mother, or a woman can't have the same name of the father, or things like this, all of this have no source within halacha. Rav Yehuda Chasid said that these things are dangerous. He wrote two books, one general book of halacha, which has also things of danger, but then he also wrote a will, which he told all of his descendants, I want you to keep this. And therefore, unless you know that you're a descendant of Yehuda Chasid, you can ignore the will. Unless your parents told you this is part of your legacy, that so then there's no reason to follow it. And Yehuda Chasid's will is not binding. On the other hand, once we talk about superstition, it's very difficult because all kinds of things which are written here, people will not want to break because they say it's dangerous. And this is what caused Rabbi Soloveitchik's son, Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, to once say, and I believe I've quoted this before, that it's a shame that he never wrote that Jews shouldn't steal because it's dangerous, because people are far more afraid of what's written in Rabbi Yehuda Chasid Sefer Chasidim than they are of what's written in the Ten Commandments. Over here, he writes in source number 10, Ilan ha'ose perot en l'ktsototo. A tree that produces fruits, do not cut it down. Now, why did he have to tell us this? It's in the Torah. But what's he saying over here to his descendants? Don't cut it down under any circumstances. So what is he therefore telling us? That there's some kind of danger involved in this. And this most likely is where the Taz is getting this from, that there's danger involved in it. And it's, again, I'm putting a couple pieces together, but it most likely goes back to the source of Rabbi Chanina telling us about his son. On the other hand, the Sefer Chasidim, in his actual book, discusses Baal Tashchit a number of times. I did not bring you every time that he discusses it, just a couple of times because you will find it interesting. Source 11 talks about doing shechita. Adam she'eino tzarech l'chol basar v'hu yodea she'tisrach im yishchot lo yitzterech klal lo yishchot. If a person's going to do shechita, and by the way, Baal Tashchit was discussed a lot in terms of people practicing shechita. How can somebody practice and what's going to happen because of Baal Tashchit? But over here he says, what if you want to do shechita, but you don't need the animal? So what does he say? Don't do shechita. Was that a difficult law? You all would have said that yourself. He says, v'gam over Baal Tashchit, and you're breaking Baal Tashchit if you kill the animal for if you do it for no purpose. No one needs it. No one needs the meat. Right. He says, right, right, Right? No, he's not even talking about learning. I said, in the discussion of learning, it's also discussed. He's not even speaking about learning. You had a bad day at work. Your boss's name is Bill. You call your cow Bill, and you say, come, Bill, and you do shechita. You don't like that. And by the way, you know what? That could be for a purpose. That's therapeutic. But over here he writes, Vagam over abal tashchit, aval im tzorech la'or mutar. What if you need the leather? You're not going to eat any of the meat. The meat's going to go bad. But you need some leather. So you kill a cow because you need some leather. What does he say? That's allowed. Source 12. Im katav adam sefer Torah yafeh. V'ktav daf she'enu kol kach yafeh. Person wrote a Sefer Torah with very nice handwriting, and one page did not come out all that nice. Is that page kosher? Yes, it's kosher. Could it be used in the Torah? Yes. But it's not as pretty as the other pages. It's not as nice as the other pages. Even though there's no mistake. Im chafetz, if he wants to, yasir hadaf, you can rip out that page, v'ignoz, and put in the gniza, v'yichtov acher, yafeh, and write another one. The ein lomar over bishur bal tashchit lekach, and don't lekach neamar zekeli venveyu, and don't say that you broke bal tashchit over here because you want to perform the mitzvah in a nice way. Zekeli venveyu, this is my God, and I will cherish him. So what did he just now tell me? For the purpose of aesthetics, that you can do something which you can call waste. Again, if I get into this mindset, I'm not allowed to waste anything. I can't throw anything. So what did he just now teach? And again, the same Sefer Chassidim that said, don't cut down any tree. What did he just now say? That for the purpose of aesthetics, then there is no prohibition of Baal Tashchit. And again, even though he says in his will that you shouldn't cut down any tree, I now have to consider this as well when I go back to trees. Because if it's Baal Tashchit otherwise, why is it not Baal Tashchit over here? Because of aesthetic purposes. Even though I will point out, this is not general aesthetics. This is Hidur Mitzvah in the performance of the Mitzvah, so therefore it takes it to a slightly other example. But still, I now, if somebody's going to ask me, there's this tree sitting in the middle and it just bothers me and it's ugly and so on. So is that person allowed to cut it down or not? Well, on the one hand, are they doing because they want to just destroy? No, they're doing because it's bothering them. So that becomes much more difficult. We're going to skip a little bit and get to some of the Shailot and Tshuvot. We could have spent all day and next week and the week after on various questions that have come up over the generations, but we'll just pick a couple of them. The Chavat Yair, source 16. Rav Yair Chaim ben Moshe Samson Bachrach, She'ela al divrei Ilan Afar Sikin, She'ala me'elav b'chatzero. Somebody had a tree. What's Afar Sik? A peach tree grew in their tree. By itself, they didn't plant it. Uma apil alav chalono. And it causes too much shade. It bothers the sun, which was coming in before. Ishari lemiktsayei. Are you allowed to cut it down? What does he write? Pashut ishari. Of course it's allowed. To kol shulut sercho mutar. Anything which is for your purpose, you're allowed to do it. Again, what's he telling us? Very, very simply. And you know what? We came to this conclusion already as well. Anything which is for a purpose, you're allowed to do. Why are you doing it? The tree bothers you. Why does it bother you? It doesn't give you enough sunlight. But hold it a second. You're not allowed to cut down a tree. How would you answer that? You can if there's a reason. What's the reason? It bothers you. You want more sun? He allows to cut it down. He doesn't even go that far. Last line there on the second to last line, V'lo asrat Torah rak derech hashchata b'litzorech. The only time the Torah prohibited this is if you're doing in way of destruction without any purpose. That is Baal Tashchit. Okay, that again, major posek. Should we look at the Shvut Yaakov? It's long, we'll look at it quickly. She'ela Reuven, Yaakov is of Yaakov ben Yosef Reisher, 1670 to 1733. She'ela Reuven v'Shimon Shchenim, Dahenu Sheyesh the Reuven Bayit Shachalanot Tuchim Lagina Shel Shimon, V'Takam Shimon V'Nata Ilanot Hagdolim Samuch L'Kotel Bayit Shel Reuven. Reuven wrote Zelim Chotbo Sheyikotz Ilanotav Mitam to come Mapelet. It comes down to the same kind of case, but there's one other aspect over here is, and this is also. Someone else's garden. It's neighbors fighting, which really takes us into a whole other topic. Along the way to the end, again, what happened? Two neighbors, one of them plants trees, which causes shade in his window, and he doesn't want the shade. He wanted the sunlight, so now he'll have to deal with the laws of neighbors, right? Hilchot Shchenim. He'll have to deal with established facts, changing established facts, putting up a fence or putting up trees, and he'll also then have to deal with the permissibility of taking down the tree. At the end, the last paragraph, we'll look at that. Achein hakol lefi ra'ut einei hamora, that this is something which is completely subjective, and the rabbi who's looking at the case has a great deal of latitude. Im hu ilan av v'gado ma'pil ma'od, yachol mochot, kamo v'binyan d'stama. He goes, if it's a big tree, it's bothering, then of course he can complain. And he does say afterwards, if you could cut down the branches, then may be a better solution. But again, this tshuva is a little bit less relevant because it throws in that other example as well. And the truth is, we already saw before the Chavat Yair giving the other answer. Okay, this one, next one, I brought in mainly because of the question. But it's also, it's interesting because it's not talking about trees here. This is from the Tzemach Tzedek, who is one of the rebbes of Lubavitch along the line. He was a grandson through the daughter of the Baal HaTanya. B'dover Beit HaKnesset Depo Dinovitz Asher Ezrat Nashim D'chukam Ma'od. The Ezrat Nashim was very crowded. U'bigi Yimei HaNa'arim, and when it came to the High Holy Days, HaNashim Mitaplot, the women were fainting. Umamashi Yesh Sakana B'davar. And it was... I thought you'd like that. Right? Umenachrach lo sif od Ezrat Nashim Chadasha. And we have to... Here's the problem. Here's the problem that he sets up. The problem is that they want to build a new Ezrat Nashim. To do that, they're going to have to destroy the shul itself. So are you allowed to break the wall of the shul to build... To extend it. So now the truth is, I don't know why he's even. I don't know why this is really that serious of a question. And you correct. Which he gets into the discussion of Baal Tashchit. Top line of page 6, he writes, "Rak yesh heter b'isur baal tashchit." When do you have a heter against the prohibition of baal tashchit? Im hatikun shaveh yoter. If what you're eventually going to fix is worth more than what you're breaking, which he comes down to a very simple point: you're doing it for a purpose. If you have a tree, and the watering of the tree or whatever you're going to end up building afterwards is more valuable than what's there now. What's he really telling us? Again, that you should look at this in the macro and not necessarily in the micro. The Hartzvi. Hartzvi was a Tzvi Pesach Frank, who, as you see, was born in Kovna, 1874. He died in 1960 in Israel. By the time that he died, he was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim for many, many years. He somehow succeeded in being accepted by everybody in Yerushalayim. He's very close with Rav Kook, and he helped Rav Kook actually become chief rabbi. It was one of the things that he had pushed very much that there be a rabbinate in Israel. And he was accepted by the Haredi community as well. He writes over here a question, Kitzitzat ilan shel orla kedei lamid makom suka. Again, there's one more element he threw in. What was the case? The tree is an orla tree. Are you allowed to cut down an orla tree in order to build a place for the sukkah? Now, what's interesting, again, all the stuff about orla I took out. It's not really relevant to us. He writes there in the beginning, Hinei shnei dvarim niskru shetzarf b'shu makom sukkah, b'shu ilan shel orla, kol echad bilvad yesh ladun she'ebo kula b'fnei atzma. Each one will have its own leniency. But let's skip all that, because part of what's bothering him is still this thing of the sakana. Now, I skipped a little bit over here. There, Rav Yaakov Emden, who every now and then found a cause that he fought for, Rav Yaakov Emden wrote long tshuva, and he publicized, and he said that the problem over here on top of everything else is the sakana, which means he followed the thing that we saw in the Taz, he followed the thing we saw in the Sefer Chassidim, Rabbi Chanina, it's sakana. And if it's sakana, so what's there to talk about? You're never allowed to cut down a tree, because it's certainly a fruit tree, because it's sakana. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank touches this, and he's concerned about it. He doesn't just say, forget about it, we'll see someone who does that in a second, but he writes at the end, and even those who've said, in cases it's allowed regarding the laws of Baal Tashchit, you still have to be careful because sakana. Take a look at Yaakov Emden. Ya'avetz is Yaakov ben Tzvi. Yaakov, the son of Chacham Tzvi, is very Yaakov Emden. Uvesefer Chasidim, betzavat Ruv Yehuda Chasid. Uvesiman Memhei, uvegot Marasham. And he quotes all these things. You have to be concerned, right? Sefer Chasidim, Botzat, Harav Gagon, Rav Ruvin Margolio, Chafilum, Haya, Tzarech Lumkomo, even if you need the place, Vakiyotze, Boshimutar, Mitzadadin, Mikomakom, Yesh Bokshash Sakana. That still we have to always be concerned about the Sakana. Ulachain Ladati, and therefore he gives his ruling, Yesh Lakatzetso, Ayede Goy. Let a non Jew cut it. One second, listen, it gets. Listen. Vayomi beferish, and say to him, she'ein hu rotze she'aseh b'shlichuto. He says, you're not my shliach when you do this. You're paying money, but you know, or you ask, you're not my shliach. One second. V'chshash ha'sakana yichel rak al rosh ha'goy b'vad. And let the sakana, let the tzadik mitzara nechlatz v'yavo acher tachtav. So again, you see this in black and white. He says it's allowed, but he said, I'm not telling you to do it, but I need you to do this. And any curse that comes... I don't know. I found this...
I don't understand the second line.
The second line is v'tzadik mitzara nechlatz, a righteous person will be saved, v'yavo acher tachtav, and someone else will take his place.
I don't understand. What was the sakana?
The sakana is cutting down fruit trees is considered to be a sakana.
Oh, from before.
Right. No, you are too. He's, I don't want to say he's playing a game, but should I tell you, he's playing a game.
If you want to take it seriously, you could say he was destroying something in that.
I don't even know how to defend this. But he's saying, if you could, what he's really saying is, you're allowed to have the tree cut down. You're worried about the sakana. Good. Let somebody do it who's not worried about the sakana. And worse comes to worse, he'll die. Yes. We will not report that now. Source 21, Rav Avadya. Rav Avadya's tshuva took up 9 pages of our pages over here, so I decided to cut it out and only give you the question and the answer. So I just saved you 9 pages of reading. Nishalti. I'm allowed to cut down a tree which is near our house in order to make my house bigger. That there's no more room in the house and we need to make an extension and we have a fruit tree outside. Are you allowed to cut it down? So after going through everything that was ever written on the topic, Rav Avadya finally concludes, he writes, Sof Tavar HaKol Nishma, which is very appropriate because he really did go through everything you can imagine and many things you can't. Shikar lahalacha shemutar l'ktzoti l'nei ma'achal kedei l'achiv dirato. Asher hi kayom d'chuka mitzumtzemet. You're allowed to cut down a tree for a purpose. L'mishcha brucha ha'yodim Hashem imachem aleihem yichyu. Ve'ein b'zech shash sakana klal. Rav Avadya just took the whole sakana thing and threw it away. And he goes, there's no problem at all whatsoever. If you really want to, so let a guy do it for you. Again, he follows that. He goes, if you're doing it for no reason whatsoever, or just for beauty, he goes, I'm not convinced that that's a purpose. And he quotes that we saw earlier, so on and so forth. Right. Amen. His conclusion, by the way, is a little surprising to me, because from the Gemara, I think we could have gone further than this. But let's conclude for what we saw. There is a prohibition against cutting down trees. The prohibition is only cutting down fruit trees. How do I know this? And this is the seventh time I'm saying it. It's because the Torah itself said you can cut down other trees. So if we, I don't know about the rainforests and what's growing in the rainforests. I don't know what's there. Are you allowed to cut down trees? Yes. We learned that the prohibition applies to other things as well. We learned, according to a lot of people, that is a Torah law going to other things. So therefore, if it is a Torah law, so we have to be careful about all kinds of destruction. But what is the problem? Destruction for no purpose. What do we learn from the Rush? And I think the Rush would end up disagreeing. I think Rav Avadia is not as strong as the Rush is. What do we learn from the Rush? We learned that if you need the space. So even when he said that, oh, if you have a lot of family and you're squashed in the house, that's a problem. But if you're just doing it because you want a bigger house, then that's it. No, that's also not a problem, according to the Rush, without any question whatsoever. And even according to Rav Avadia, I would ask him, what are you talking about? The prohibition is not the cutting down trees. It's for no purpose. You have a purpose. You don't like the guy's purpose. That's something else. You have a purpose for it. So what's the problem? And that would certainly be what follows from the Rush. You know, maybe I'll read one more. Source number 20 is of Aaron Pressburger. He was born in Mattersdorf. He was murdered by the Nazis in 1944. He was a major posek before the war. Hinei kamat rov rishonim savru d'me'ula b'damim o tzarech l'mkomo o shemazik l'shar ilanot d'leit be'bal tashchit v'gam sakana leka. So what does he say? Again, a good Hungarian rov. Maybe you'd think that he'd get into the second. No. He says that if, what were the reasons that he said? You need the place. It's more valuable. What if the land is more valuable than the tree? Okay, what if the tree is more valuable? It goes for any purpose. Again, when you're not allowed to do it, when there's no purpose. Virak hashut. That's not the Beit Yosef. I'm not sure. No, it's the Beit Yaakov. Ratsa lechalek bein hadvekim da'atos v'nechlak al arosh b'tzarech l'mkomo. He goes, and the debate, he wanted to disagree with the Rosh. You need the space is also considered to be that this tree is worth more dead than alive. What it means is that you're allowed to cut it down for the space. And he says that almost all the posts can agree with this. And he said, and if there is no prohibition of Baal Tashchit, then by definition, there's no sakana. When is there sakana? Only when you're breaking the law. But once you're not breaking the law, there's no sakana. And how does he know that? That's the way the Rambam understood the Gemara as well. Because what did it say? He said he cut it down too early. Right? What did the Rambam say? Oh, you're allowed to cut it down when it's already old and not producing. Again, also based upon the Gemara. What does it mean he cut it down too early? What's the implication from that? That if he waited a little bit, you could cut it down. So that means that there are times that you could cut down a tree. So therefore, the whole source for the sakana, if you're going to claim it's the Gemara, doesn't really seem to hold water. On the other hand, you get back to the Sefer Chassidim, that he said, don't do it. Good. Anybody who's a descendant of Yehuda Chassid and who were told by their parents, you must follow this, by all means follow this. But this tshuva is very instructive. And then he writes, just one second, he writes a little bit more. He says, no sakana. He goes, Rakav ya'aveit v'chtam sofer, heim shnei gdolim v'gudnoi aret, shesavrim de'ikr shash sakana, gam bim u'la b'damim, u'mi yavo achareim. And he goes on and on and on. But his opinion seems to be quite clear. He's talking also about a sukkah. He's really quite clear. If you're not breaking Baal Tashchit, then there's no sakana. What was the problem that the Chanina said about his son? He broke Baal Tashchit. How did he break Baal Tashchit? He cut it down too soon. So, but as I said, this idea of sakana, superstition, you cut down a tree, God will cut you down. And then you go even further. Where do we see that? The same verse. So you cut down trees, God will cut you down. That's all you need to tell somebody this, that cutting down trees are dangerous to you and you can die from this. So good. So as I saw, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank had hid his solution to this. Rav Avadia was not so far from this solution. But as far as the halacha goes, it's not just trees. Anything that you do where there's no purpose whatsoever, it's destruction, that's Baal Tashchit. Anything that you do where there's a purpose and there's a logic and there's a reason, and it could be economic, it could be other, there's a reason for it, then by definition it's not Baal Tashchit. And if it's not Baal Tashchit, then the logic would seem to continue that there's no sakana either, but as I said, I cannot control what people are afraid of.
So what does this mean for Lag
BaOmer? Lag BaOmer, they're allowed to burn down all those trees because there's a purpose. What's the purpose? All the little pyromaniacs are enjoying themselves. Just come on.